Wow, it's a great Sunday for music this morning. I'm glad I decided to come today. The message this morning is entitled Inside the Tree, which I may be a little confusing to you, but I think by the end of the message you'll understand where I'm going with this. The scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. And this is Jesus speaking. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Most of you know that I grew up in Yosemite National Park as a kid. But one part, the first 6 years in Yosemite, we actually lived in the Mariposa Grove. That's a grove of giant sequoia trees. So where there is now a parking lot where you board trams, that was the seasonal ranger naturalist housing. So I actually lived for 6 years, six summers, in the majesty of these super tall trees. Giant sequoia trees can grow to be 300 feet high. Do you know how high that is? Anybody seen the Christmas tree in Anthem? Nobody. Oh, a couple people. All right, driven by it. That's short. I want you to take this building and realize that from the floor right here to the very top of the roof is 45 feet. A giant sequoia would be over six times the height of this church. I always wanted to plant one in my backyard right over here in Gold Canyon, and then I'd be able to see it from Mesa. Of course, it'd take up my whole backyard. But I have to tell you, as a kid, I used to build forts in those trees because there were parts that over the years they had been burned out, and I would take logs and stuff and make these forts. If I did that today, I'd probably be arrested. But what's really magnificent about those trees is the fact that they can take the water and the nutrients from the soil, and they can pump all of that up 300 feet to nourish themselves. I mean, it really is a miracle. Height really is the fruit of that tree. Now, Jesus describes what is called the law of the tree. What is going on in the inside dictates what will be produced on the outside of the tree. For example, what kind of fruit will a fig tree produce? Take a wild guess. Figs, right? Very good. What kind of fruit will an apple tree produce? All right, you're awake, you're with me. Now, an apple tree is not going to produce figs. A fig tree is not going to grow to be 300 feet high. A giant sequoia tree is not going to grow apples. If it does, they're going to be hard to pick. And I would not want to stand under a sequoia tree that is growing apples, because if they fall, they might just kill you. So whatever is happening on the inside dictates what would be produced on the outside. In a similar way, there is a constant flow going on in our mind of thoughts and ideas. For example, you look at your nails and you have a thought and you think, oh man, I should trim my nails. And then you think, oh well, maybe I should get my hair cut this week. Oh, and then maybe I should get the oil changed in the car. But the last time I went to the dealer and they changed my oil, it was way too much. I ought to find a new shop that I could replace my oil in my car at. And you know, while I'm in town doing that, I ought to go buy some Christmas gifts because I need to get those gifts before I go to California so I can take those gifts with me and save mailing those gifts. Do you see how the flow in our mind just continues? Matter of fact, we have so many thoughts during the day that frankly, we don't remember most of them. But we just have this constant flow going on. We are never still. This is how our mind works. It's kind of like the inside of a tree, the flow of nutrients. Let me lead you a little bit in the flow of your mind this morning. We're going to see how your mind is working. I want you just to answer some questions for me this morning, all right? The tree that grows from an acorn is called a what? Very good. The vapor that rises from a fire is called? The sound that a frog makes is called a? The white of an egg is called a? Your mind is not working very well, is it? Well, our thoughts can take on tendencies, they can take on patterns that create the fruit that we bear, that cause the things that we say and we do. Loving people have loving thoughts and actions. Grouchy people have grouchy thoughts and actions. Do you like being around cranky people? Do you like their fruit? Somebody once said, a grouch is a person who spreads good cheer wherever they don't go. So your inner thoughts, your inner feelings going on determine your life. The Pharisees in Jesus' day were focused on doing right things. They focused on behavior that they would do out in public so people would notice them. They dedicated themselves to strictly obey the Jewish laws and the commands. But they ignored the inside of the tree. It's why Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They look nice on the outside, but inwardly they were dead. Max Lucado tells of a time when he had just come back from a vacation and he was well rested and he woke up very early in the morning. Frankly, it was the middle of the night and he told his wife that I'm going to go down to the office and work. And she said, you got to be kidding. Can't you wait? He said, no, I'm ready to get going. So he got out of bed and she said, well, don't you remember a couple weeks ago there was a break-in down at the office? And burglars tried to break in, and they might try to break in while you're there. You shouldn't go down there. And he said, I'm not worried about that. And so he left the house and went down to the church office. And when he got in, he unarmed the alarm. And then he went down the hall to his office, and suddenly all the alarms went off. So he ran quickly down the hall and he disarmed the alarm and he picked up the phone and he called 911 and he said, somebody's trying to break into our office. Well, then he hung up and he thought, well, they might break in before the police get here. So he armed the alarm system again. And then he turned to go to his office and the alarm went off again. And so he turned back around and he disarmed the alarm. He looked out the window to see if the police were arriving yet. They weren't arriving, and he became concerned that the burglars might break in while he was there. So he armed the alarm again, and the minute he walked down to his office, it went off again, so he disarmed it. And then he thought, this alarm system is not functioning. So he called the alarm company and said, you know, my alarm system keeps going off. There must be a malfunction. Or maybe somebody's breaking in. And the the person on the other end of the line said, well, there is another option, sir. Do you know there's a motion detector in your office? He didn't know that. Turned out he'd been setting off the alarm himself because they'd installed the new alarm system when he left on vacation, and when he got back, he really didn't know how to use it. So he thought all the problems were on the outside trying to break in, when in fact all the problems were on the inside. He was causing the alarm. He was the problem. You know, sometimes if we're really struggling in this life, maybe it's because of the problems inside us. Because many times we think it's all those people on the outside, when in fact it may be what is flowing within our mind, the thoughts we are thinking. In Matthew 23:26, Jesus said, "You blind Pharisees, you first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may also be clean." That's how transformation starts. It starts from the inside, but the Pharisees were cleaning the outside and thinking that was enough. It's not enough. It's what is on the inside that really matters. If we want to change the inside of the tree, we have to clean the inside of the cup. By the way, this is how our parking lot looks this morning. On the north side, anyway. That's where I got the dirt. So what kind of tree do you want to be? What kind of mind do you want to have? There's two kinds of minds that we can have. The first mind we can have is we can try to cultivate a depraved mind. It's when the flow and thoughts in our mind are mostly negative. Oh, if only I had their wealth. You know, she's always spreading rumors about me. They're always talking about me behind my back. That person living in that expensive house must be really greedy. That person living in that shack must be trash. How can I find a way to get even with them because they have hurt me so badly? If I had what she had, I could do so much better. Life is so unfair. Now, we could have negative thought after negative thought after negative thought, and after a while, we set up patterns. And those patterns dictate our behaviors. And then we have a tendency to see people in a certain light. And we're filled with negativity, which poisons our soul. I was an associate pastor at Velde Rose United Methodist Church. We had a beautiful courtyard in front of the sanctuary. There were these beautiful two trees out there. They stood about 30 to 40 feet high. And one day I came out and noticed that one tree was dying. I mean, this tree was beautifully green, and this tree was brown from the top to the bottom. I asked the custodian about it. Why is our one tree dying? And he said, well, you know, I was spraying weeds one day, and when I was done spraying, I took the weed sprayer and I rinsed it out at the base of that tree and poured it out. And that poison was sucked up into the trunk and into that tree, and it killed that tree. That's all it takes. Poisonous thoughts. So how do we keep the inside of the tree healthy and alive? Well, we can have that second mind, the transformed mind. Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5, "Let the same mind be in us as is in Christ Jesus." Paul invites us to think like Jesus. Imagine what would happen if we did that. All the negativity, all the bad thoughts would simply get crowded out of our mind. There was a mother who went to visit her son who had just enrolled in college and he was spending his first semester in his dorm room. She went about halfway through the semester to see how her son was doing. And when she walked into his room, she discovered that he had rather, well, suggestive pictures all over his walls. She was greatly dismayed. But she didn't say anything. She had a great visit. But then after she left there, she went to a store and she bought a picture of just the head of Christ. She wrapped it up and she mailed it to her son. Her son got this beautiful wrapped package. He opened it and there was the face of Jesus. It was a beautiful picture. He hung it right over his desk, because it was from his mom. Well, by that evening, he was a little bothered that Jesus was right here and so was a suggestive picture. So he took down this picture, this suggestive one, and he threw it away. The next day, the next closest suggestive picture went down. And then the next one. And then the next one. And within a week, all the suggestive pictures were gone, and only the face of Jesus remained in his room. I would say his mom has showed great wisdom. Having the mind of Christ pushes all the other thoughts out of our mind. What do we picture in our mind? Sometimes we think, all I have to do is get rid of those negative thoughts. It doesn't work that way. You can't just say, I'm not going to have those thoughts. What you have to do is replace those thoughts with the face of Jesus. And when you focus on the mind of Christ and Christ-like thoughts, those things will then push out all the other thoughts. There will be love instead of resentment. There will be peace instead of anxiety. There will be joy and thanksgiving rather than resentment. There will be hope rather than despair. There will be strength rather than fear. This new mind is key to our spiritual health and even our physical health. Paul knew this. The Apostle Paul once said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It's that critical. So how do we pursue the transforming of our mind? Well, one good way is to read Scripture. Find out about the mind of Christ. Memorize Scripture verses. How many of you have a favorite Scripture verse? I am going to ask you to say it now. If you have a favorite Scripture verse, raise your hand. Anybody want to blurt out their favorite Scripture verse? Isaiah 41:10. What's it say?
It says, "Fear not, for I am with you."
Fear not, for I am with you. What a great thought. Anybody else?
"Be still and know that I am God."
Be still and know that I am God. What else?
Don't
worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. What else? Say it again. Care for you? He cares for you, yes. That's a long one. Trust in the Lord. Do you hear what's happening as those thoughts are in your minds? Those Christ-like thoughts are in your mind, and it pushes all the other things out. Or when you have negative thoughts, you can think about a verse. I hope every single person here will come up with at least one verse. It can change you. We also pray. We study. We learn to be generous. We serve others, and we even come and worship. These are all attempts to have the mind of Christ. I'm sure most of you are familiar with John D. Rockefeller. John D. Rockefeller, when he was young, was a strong and healthy man, and he early on determined that the goal in his life was to have a lot of money. That was his goal. That is what filled his mind. At age 33, he was a millionaire. At age 43, he owned the largest company in the United States. At age 53, he was the richest man in the world, and he was the only billionaire in the world. But shortly after he turned 53, he came down with something called alopecia. It was where his hair began to fall out on his head, and his eyebrows and eyelashes disappeared. And he sort of became a little bit like a mummy, sort of not very strong anymore, but withered away. His weekly income at that time was $1 million a week. He was so hated in Pennsylvania that he had to hire bodyguards to protect him day and night. And all he could eat was milk and crackers. He could not sleep, he'd stop smiling, and he enjoyed nothing in this life. He went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and what they told him was, you are going to die within a year. One night, he had a really restless night. He thought about the fact that the newspaper had written his obituary in advance. They knew he was going to die, and they knew it might happen rather suddenly, so it'd be a good idea to just have it all written out so they didn't have to worry about that. They could just plug it in to the newspaper. Well, on that night, he realized with a very new light in his mind that he couldn't even take a dime with him. He also knew God was displeased with him, and he surrendered his life to Christ. He repented of his sins, and he prayed that God would change his heart. Change him on the inside. The next morning, he woke up a new man with new ideas and new priorities in his mind. He was going to give his money away to help others. And that's what he did. He gave money to churches to help churches in their ministries. He established the University of Chicago. He established the Rockefeller Foundation, that one of the many things it did was to give money for research, for medical research, for the discovery of penicillin and other wonder drugs. And guess what? John D. Rockefeller began to sleep well and eat well and live well. You would say he lived his life to the fullest. Doctors predicted he would die at the age of 54. Guess what? He lived to be 98. It matters what is going on in our mind. So what is circulating in your mind? Is it poisonous? Or is it spiritual nourishing? You know, we celebrate Thanksgiving this week. It's a time to focus on thankful thoughts. It's also a time to find a favorite scripture verse or verses that will nourish your thoughts. I want to share one with you this morning. You want to put that on the screen? I'm going to invite you to say it with me this morning. But we're going to break this up into sections. The choir, you're good at being led. You'll be one section. This side of the lower sanctuary, another section. This side, another section. And the side section, another section. So when I point to your section, you say only a line. Got it? Yes. All righty. I'm worried. I guess I put you to sleep. This comes from Philippians 4:8, Paul's words. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, altogether, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And everybody said, Amen.